Hi everyone. We are doing a new book this week, and we'll end it this week as well. We're going to be covering the book of Jonah. So today we'll read Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call it against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." All right, so just want to give a quick introduction to the book of Jonah, talk about the context a little bit. The time period of Jonah, it's might not mean a lot to us, but it's during the reign of Jeroboam II, ruled in Israel. This is the northern kingdom after Israel split into two. Now, unlike many of the prophets that we've covered in these devotions over the past year, this time period that Jonah is written in was actually a time of relative peace and quiet, maybe even kind of a little bit of prosperity even. For once, it's like Israel wasn't in dire straits here, right? There wasn't like this impending doom. Now, having said that, there still was rivalry, intrigue, and like just struggles against nations around them. And if there was a main rival, a potential threat at this time, it would have been Assyria. And if you want to guess, where is Nineveh? Nineveh is part of Assyria. So here we are in Jonah, and Jonah's a prophet, and he hears God speak to him, and God tells him, go to Nineveh, call out against it for the evil, like preach against it, go tell them that, you know, judgment is coming. And so what does Jonah do? He heads to Tarshish instead. If you look at it on a map, and I'd invite you to Google it, it's not hard to find if you look on Google Images. Jonah's in Joppa, or near Joppa, and Tarshish is in the opposite direction. It's like pretty much exactly the opposite direction, in a sense. That's where he's going. And this is Jonah, the prophet. He hears God speak to him to go to Nineveh, and he goes the opposite way. And so why is that? Like, why does he do this? I think in a very simple terms, Jonah is nationalistic, or to put it more negatively, he's racist, vindictive maybe. He's judgmental. Assyria had, and Israel already at this point, had some skirmishes and struggles, and not going to get into too much of that. But Jonah here, probably because of some of those things, he does not want to display God's judgment. He doesn't want to share God's word, much less God's love, to these Assyrians, to Nineveh. And so this is what it is. It's his own judgmental, racist, nationalistic, vindictive kind of heart. And you'll notice that when Jonah leaves for Tarshish, then he's not just going in the opposite direction of Nineveh, he's going in the opposite direction of God. It says in here that he's going away from the presence of the Lord. It says that twice here, away from the presence of the Lord. Now, of course, God is everywhere. But really, he's what Jonah's doing, he's very intentionally going in the opposite direction of God's will. That's how deep and ingrained this like racist and judgmental, hateful heart that Jonah has, that he's willing to go against the presence of God itself. Now, of course, God isn't having that. Right? He's not going to allow that from Jonah here. And he makes it very clear to Jonah that his presence is everywhere. But God sends a storm, and it's a bad, bad storm. It's so bad that these sailors, they even have to throw the cargo out of the ship trying to save their own lives, but nothing is working. The storm is not like nothing's going to end this storm, right? And what's crazy is in the midst of all this chaos, what is Jonah doing? He's sleeping. In the middle of a storm, Jonah is sleeping in a boat. Now, this might sound familiar to us. And this is something that we reference in the Gospels, where during a storm, Jesus is asleep. While his disciples are freaking out about it, Jesus is asleep during the storm. And it feels like this, there's a real intentional parallel here between that account in the Gospels and here with Jonah. It's a parallel in terms of circumstance, but it's opposite. Jesus and Jonah are, in these situations, are in opposite places. Jonah is in complete rebellion against God, right? Completely shutting God out. And so he sleeps. How can you sleep if you're doing that? In a sense, it's kind of like escape. Or maybe he's like the kid who puts like the fingers in his ears and says, la, 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 I can't hear you, you know, like that kind of thing. He's trying to shut God out. And in a sense, he has some sort of peace. And it's a kind of a counterfeit peace that he's found, where it's like, you know what? I'm fine here without God. But Jesus, on the other hand, in the Gospels, he sleeps through the storm, not because he's running away or escaping, but Jesus is able to sleep in the storm because, completely opposite to Jonah, Jesus trusts God. Jesus is at peace because he knows that God is in control, and he is God. And so we have just a very remarkable contrast here between Jonah and Jesus. And of course, what we need to seek is, we need to seek to be like Jesus, right? To trust that God is in control, even when it doesn't make sense, even when things are hard, and we can't allow our own pride, our egos, racism, whatever, within our own hearts to get in the way of what God wants to do. Jonah, in a sense, as we'll probably talk about multiple times this week, he is a strange figure because he's not very actively trying to follow God throughout all this. But God keeps on encountering him anyways. God is being gracious to Jonah in the midst of this. And he doesn't allow Jonah to resign to this counterfeit kind of peace that he's finding and running away from God. And so for ourselves as well, we need to seek the peace that Jesus had in the middle of storms, in the middle of difficulties, in the middle of like whatever circumstances are going on. We need to trust that God is in control, that God is good, and God wants what is best for us. Let's pray that we will follow the example of Jesus and we'll heed the negative example from Jonah as well. So let me pray for us to close. Jesus, we thank you that you are in control through the storms of life, through the difficulties of everything. You are good and you want to bless us, God. We pray that you will continue to work in our hearts. May we not run away from you, but may we keep on running towards you, even when it doesn't make sense, or when it's hard, or when it goes against our own instincts or our own lack of love. We pray that you will help us, God. Move in our hearts, Lord, to love our neighbors, but most of all, help us to move in your direction, God, and to go towards your will. Bless us, God. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray.